Hello, this is Sam Brock with Craig Lawson, and today we are taking a look at a camp's identity. We've got five things here that really make up a camp's identity, and I'm going to let Craig be our color commentator as I go through these different things. So a camp's identity, number one, their philosophy. This is basically the foundation of beliefs, the truths, what the camp is based on. It's kind of the why behind everything. Then secondly, there's their people, the laborers that God has provided to do the work. They each have unique talents, abilities. Really, that's it makes the identity of a camp unique. No camp is quite like any other camp because of their people. And so they might have a very similar philosophy as we have a family of camps, but the people make each one different. Number three is their process and policy, how the work gets done. It's a practical outworking of your philosophy. So it's all the kind of the nitty gritty, but that process and policy is based on your philosophy. Number four is the program, what we are doing, the front lines, the tip of the spear. This is actually getting the mission done. And it's what most people think of as camp is the program. And that's actually what Craig works in, is our program team. But all of that work that he does is built on top of philosophy, people, process. And then lastly, what a lot of people tour when they come to camp is the property. These are the buildings, the resources, the assets, the various tools that we use to get that job done. As I sit here with Craig, what of these five things, when you were thinking about being part of a camp, which one of these five things did you like attracted you first? Which one did you notice first?
Actually, here at Ironwood, when I came for summer staff, was philosophy. It was the first time that someone had communicated to me that this is why we do what we do, and this is continually what we go back to. So memorizing the mission statement as a summer staffer was a big deal for me. And then when I asked questions, I didn't just get a traditional answer, but I got something that was like, I need to think about that. Or I got an answer that was like, oh, because of this, this, and this, and this is what our mission statement is. This is what our core values are. This is why. So that's actually what led me to Ironwood. I could care less about all the other stuff because the foundation is so good. So if I'm serving with people or part of a program or policies and processes that take philosophy serious, I can trust all of those other things because the foundation's strong.
Yeah, I find that in that philosophy section, when people don't know that, then what they're doing in their program and stuff almost becomes tradition. We've always done it this way, you know, so we're going to do it that way again. And really, it's the why behind it that makes that tradition be like, oh, that's a good tradition, I know why, or it's just tradition, and I guess that's what we do. Tell me a little bit about process policy, because you've now been in Ironwood how long?
Almost 5 years.
5 years. So chances are process and policy are starting to impact like where you're at. But tell me how important that is to you.
It's really important. I'm in charge of like six or seven people who run camp. So if I don't have a policy or a process of how things are done, a policy or process will be created. That is probably something that I don't really enjoy, or something that I think needs to be changed. I think we work on policy and processes every other week, if not every week, just because something happened is like, oh, I didn't think that would ever happen, or something happened is like, I'm not using my time very efficiently. Even the past 2 days, past 2 months even, working through how do I be efficient, how do I help my team be efficient, there has to be a policy or a process that then everybody looks at and goes, yeah, I approve, or I understand that this is where we're going and I'll do my best to do it. So that policy and process is very, very important. It actually allows me to take care of people better, and then it allows for the program that we run, it allows it to be, I don't want to say the same for all groups, but there's this level that we meet because of policy and process, that there's not a group that falls through the crack or gets a less enjoyable experience than what our standard would be, because that policy and process states this is the standard or the level of camp that we will produce.
Yeah, I find that the process section is sometimes just verbally communicated. And when it's just verbally communicated, it's really hard. Like some people know the policy, some people don't know the policy. And just last week we were setting up a policy for how to use our trailers. And it seems like it's every week you're working on. And I think it's the hard work. Sometimes a camp can't grow because it doesn't work on its process policy. Last question for you, Craig. Program, property, like how important is the property to the program, or how much a program can you do without property? Tell me about that.
A statement that you have been saying, I guess you've probably said it for a while, but it's just kind of stuck over the past couple months, is I'm going to use what I have. So property does come into play with what activities I can do, what activities I can't do. So I shouldn't go buy skis when I don't have snow. So my program does kind of lean bend towards a program or a property that is desert environment. But also I have to figure out ways of like, oh, how can I negate my property? I have some disadvantages to being in a desert. There's sand always everywhere. Like, I think I need to figure out how to do this, because concrete is not is something that gets slick when there's a light amount of sand on it, or even the heat, trying to figure out heat in the summer. So property is something that does go into program. Like today, we have 20 mile an hour winds. If we had camp running all day, we would need to figure out a program that would sit there and go, okay, where my property is located or what my property is has caused me to adjust my program, and you have to be ready for it. There's not just going to be some unique climate catastrophe or wonderful thing that happens that all of a sudden all of the things that you are right now are going to change tomorrow. So you kind of have to just learn what it is and deal with it.
Yeah, I see how property, like when it comes to a program, and I almost compare it to a chef. They've got a kitchen. They could have an amazing oven, and that chef still has to know how to use the oven in order to be a good chef. So if I have a really good chef, he can make amazing food on a hot plate. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's a chef. But
it's ramen taste.
That's right. But if he's not a good chef, it doesn't matter how nice his kitchen is, he's not going to be good at it. So a camp's identity, these five things, that's kind of what makes up a camp. Many times we think of the property, we think that's what makes the identity of the camp, that's kind of where it is, and that's the first thing that you see in their promotional video is kind of the pictures of how pretty the property may be. But philosophy, people, process and policy, program, and lastly, property, those are the big five of a camp's identity.